Welcome to The Top, the podcast that provides you with what you need to succeed in the real estate world. Brought to you by Collin County Area Realtors. Get ready to tackle top real estate topics in bite-sized amounts with CCAR President Jamuna Phil and Jonna Fernandez, CCAR Chief Operating Officer.
Hi, Jamuna.
Hi, Jonna.
Welcome to The Top.
I'm happy to be here.
So am I. Now, I know that as a realtor, you help a lot of North Texas families find a home, okay? But how often are you helping them navigate the purchase of investment property?
So the investment property is a whole different animal. We're looking at different things. We're looking at ROI. We're looking at location. We're looking at what they want to do with that investment property. Are they going to hold on to it long-term, short-term? Are they going to rent it? So there are a lot of factors that are involved when we're looking for an investment home.
Absolutely. There are a lot of things to consider, like you just mentioned. But the right investment property can be a great wealth generator, too, for sure. So today we're going to discuss, if you haven't figured it out already, we're discussing investment properties. We're going to talk about the process, hurdles, rewards of buying an investment property. And we have an expert with us here. We have Nancy Wallace Lobbs, who's with us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, and you guys, thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
So Nancy, you're the expert here. You've done a lot of investment homes, obviously, and that's why you're here with us today. Can you tell us how you became so knowledgeable and passionate about real estate investing?
Yes. Well, you know, my passion comes from it's a great generator of wealth. In real estate in general, you can make a lot of money. But if you're really looking to build legacy wealth, I mean, you know, real estate for me has just been a great investment opportunity. And there's so many things that you can do to make money with investment properties and investing and that kind of thing. So I learned and became an expert by doing. I've, you know, done flips, long-term, used to do a lot of property management, short-term, private money lending, which I know we're going to talk about lending in a minute. But, you know, some of it was trial and error, you know, and overcoming my hesitation, because a lot of times people will want to get into investing and they don't know what to do, they don't know where to start, and the lack of knowledge and their own fear of being successful or failing, you know, because it's a risky endeavor just like anything. But if you can minimize your risk by doing your due diligence and knowing what type of investment property to look for.
So what are some of those steps to identify if an investment property is the right investment?
Okay, that's a great question. And probably the number one question I get is, where do you find the deal, right?
Right.
So what I do is when I'm looking at properties, and I get a lot of my deals now. I used to do a lot of marketing to distressed sellers and that kind of thing, but I get referrals. So I don't go in with, I want to buy a long-term rental or a short-term rental. I go and I look at the property and I see what strategy I can apply to that property. So, you know, right now, some of the areas I wouldn't invest in as an investor because they're just too high priced. So I have a particular criteria where I'm constantly looking. I kind of stick into the single family lane. And I'm looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath because I know I could pretty much rent that all day long. Maybe I can make it into a short-term rental. And then one of my other strategies that I love is owner financing, where I'm basically the bank, and I'm able to sell the property to people who can't get traditional funding. So I go look, I run my numbers, I see what kind of repair costs I'm looking at, you know, how am I going to fund it? And then after I go through all my due diligence, then I'll say, okay, this is the strategy for this property. And what I like to do is always have at least 2 strategies for a property that I'm looking at because, you know, right now things are shifting in the short-term rental market. So if I don't want to buy a property just, it can only be a short-term rental because, you know, I might be in a city that decides to ban it.
Right.
So I always want to make sure I have at least 2 exit strategies for my properties.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of due diligence, mm-hmm. And criteria involved to make sure you don't make a mistake there. Just to follow up with what you've just said, can you discuss the different kinds of funding that you
yes.
use?
Yeah, because I think the second question is, well, how do I pay for it, right? So you find the deal. So if you're just starting out, you may get lucky and get a traditional conventional loan. I mean, there's a lot of stipulations around investment properties with conventional mortgages. So number one, if you already own a homestead, you're going to have a pretty low debt to income ratio. They don't count the income from the property. They count like a 70 or 25% vacancy. So if you're planning on this property generating income, the mortgage company might not look at it. And a lot of lenders will say they can do investment properties when in reality they cannot. So if you're starting out, now what I've done is I've been able to leverage. So if I have, you know, when I got finally around like two or three properties, I was able to leverage and go to a credit union and I got a commercial loan and I was able to wrap, you know, four properties together, pull out the equity, and I went and invested. So you can leverage. Then, of course, there's hard money loans, and they're going to charge a lot of interest. When I say a lot, I don't mean 8%. I mean, like, probably right now it's probably like 13, 14, 15%. Right. But it's a way to get into a property. Typically, these properties need a lot of repairs. You can take draws. And again, the hard money lender will have certain criteria, but they don't generally look at your credit. They're looking at the property. Then there's asset-based lending. And so this is, I've also used this. This is usually independent banks. So what they're doing is they're looking at the equity that is in the property when you purchase it. So normally you can get an 80-20 loan, 70-30, you know, 75-25. But you usually have to have about 20-25% to put down. And then the interest rates for investment loans, it'll always be a little bit higher than homeowners. But you shouldn't let that stop you because it's tax deductible.
Right.
And then one of my favorite ways to fund properties is private money lending. And private money lending is simply individuals that have money that they want to passively make money on, usually somebody with a self-directed IRA. And it's all relationship. I can call somebody up. I have a property, especially if they know me, and I can get funded within 2 to 3 days. It's just literally the paperwork that takes the most time. So those are some of the ways that you can fund properties.
Wonderful.
Very good. So what are some common hurdles to purchasing an investment property?
So lack of experience. So let's just kind of, you know, say, okay, well, you can't go conventional because the property, to really find a good investment property, it's almost always going to need repairs. You may find it off of the MLS, but generally you're going to be talking to someone who's a distressed seller that, you know, their property just is not going to be sold on the open market. And probably repairs are going to be number one. Finding good contractors. Lack of experience. So when you go either hard money or private money lending or some of these other ways, they're going to look at your experience. So one of the things that I teach people to do is how to put together a synopsis and how to present the property and the investment to an investor, because you're really looking for someone to invest in you. And if you don't have the experience, then you have to have solid numbers. Another good thing that helps a newer investor is if they use a private money lender or hard money lender, they'll actually run numbers just to make sure that you're on the right track. And they'll let you know, hey, we're not going to lend on this because, you know, you're paying too much. The repairs are unreasonable. And a lot of investors don't understand that the repairs, especially now, because everything costs a lot more, including repairs, you know.
Oh, yes.
So I don't care what the property looks like. I always have an inspection on it. I'll shell out the $450. I mean, I can eyeball a property and I can tell it needs a foundation, probably electrical and all that. But I just like to have it all documented, especially since I'm a real estate broker. And if I resell the property, I like to kind of cover my bases. Like, this is what I found. This is what I fixed, especially when I'm selling it to, you know, to someone on the open market.
Okay.
Great information there. You probably have one that was a nightmare for you.
Oh, yeah. So I have had to bring money, not much, but I have had to bring money to closing. And then right before COVID, I've had a couple contractor issues. I mean, that's very common in the real estate investing world. I have found, even in Beeman Property Management, that contractors just end up having a shelf life. I mean, you might use them for 5 years, 2 years. You know, it's very common to hear about you gave somebody money and you never heard back from them, or they did shoddy work, that kind of thing. So the one that I'm talking about is I actually had a partner on it, and we differed on how it should be renovated, right? And so Because I am a broker, I'm very conscientious of making the right repairs and, you know, when it comes to permitting and, you know, electrical and that kind of thing. And other investors are not so much. Now, I'm not saying, it just depends on what needs to be done. So we just had a differing opinion, and it took too long. We had to redo some stuff. And so when we sold it, I had to bring a couple thousand dollars to closing. And I remember the title guy, he was like, you don't look very happy today. And I'm like, yeah. So I've only done that. I've lost some money, but I've never lost tens of thousands of dollars. I feel like when you first get into real estate investing, it's so important to understand what you can do with the property. And my best deal, I'm going to just talk about that, is I ended up buying a property over in Fort Worth in 2018 for $10,000.
Oh, wow.
Sight unseen, right? And it was in the historical part.
Yes.
The city was actually getting ready to tear it down.
Oh, wow.
And I knew the area, so I knew the value. So I can get properties under contract. I don't even have to go see them, right?
Right.
The guy and I, we just connected over the phone. And I used, I had a partner. So he paid cash for his $5,000, and I paid $5,000 out of a self-directed IRA. And long story short, we ended up, I didn't know what we were going to do with that house. I mean, it really was a kind of a tear down. Well, we ended up putting a sign in the yard, not a realtor sign, but a sign that was handwritten that said, owner will finance. And we sold that house 3 days later for $50,000.
Oh, my.
And our terms were 20% down, so we got our $10,000 back, and we financed the $40,000 for 15 years at 10%. And that money is going, my half is directly going into my self-directed IRA, and I don't pay taxes on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And it doesn't even, so that's my best deal.
Thanks for sharing. That's inspiring.
That is inspiring.
And they're out there, too. You know,
yes.
Now I'm investing more in the secondary markets outside the Metroplex and the Dallas-Fort Worth area because of the price point. And my shift has been, I have gone into short-term rentals and owner finance because with the affordable housing being such a problem right now, and people, you know, there's people out there that have money. They just can't go to, you know, the top four banks and get a loan. And so owner finance is a nice way to have passive income. We consider it mailbox money. You don't have to make repairs on the house.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own the house. You're just holding the note, right?
Right.
And so we've been doing that, and that's a nice way to just passively make money in real estate.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with a lot of investors, too, so there are so many different options that
yes.
we try to educate them, and it
yes.
really is about educating them. So for some of them, it's the first time.
Yes.
So you really have to get your partnerships together and walk through those homes. When I walk through those homes, yeah, it's an education process.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at different things, and they're looking at different things.
Exactly. And a lot of times, if you're working with a distressed seller, you know,
yes.
they could be a hoarder. So you, even if you hired an inspector, it doesn't matter. They're not going to see anything. And the house is probably so dated. So, you know, then you have to really be careful about estimating what repairs is it going to take to get this house to A, be a long-term rental, B, a short-term rental, owner finance, you know, or just relist it and sell it. So you really have to be very cognizant of the numbers and your holding costs, because a lot of people forget you got to have insurance. So if you're renovating a house, you can't just have regular, you know, you've got to have a general contractor insurance policy, you know, so it's very important to have a good insurance agent
mm-hmm.
that understands the type of strategies that you're using. And I'll just throw this out, even with short-term rentals, a lot of people are under the assumption that you can just use your long-term rental property insurance, and that is not the case. So, and there's very few carriers now that do the short-term rental insurance. So you have to be careful, and if you don't get it changed and then something happens, your claim could be denied.
Yes, absolutely. That's great information to share. Well, I really enjoyed our conversation. So before we let you go, I know we've talked about a lot of things, but is there anything else that you want our listeners to know?
Well, there's a couple of things. So one, I do coach and mentor and consult with people, especially when it comes to short-term rentals. And recently we just got my short-term rental course approved for CE credits, so that'll be coming
Wonderful.
Soon, yes.
Congratulations.
And then I'm launching what I call the Ignite the Wealth, because there are so many ways to make money in real estate. It's hard to just talk about, okay, do long-term rentals. So we're actually going to When I say we, my daughter and I are starting a community on Facebook. It'll actually launch December 1. I know we're recording this a little bit early. And it's going to be about all the different ways that you can make money in real estate investing, including my affiliate program, which is just another bonus, especially for real estate agents that have clients that need the education. So I can provide that education and share in the wealth, if you will, with my fellow realtors.
I might be your student.
Very good. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your wealth of information, because there's a lot of it. So thank you so much. For those listening, thanks for hanging out with us. And don't forget to subscribe to Welcome to the Top wherever you get your podcasts. Also, please leave us a review. We want to know how we're doing. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can email us. We're at ask@welcometothetop.com. Then listen to hear us cover it.
We can't wait to hear from you. Thank you for listening. I'm Jamuna Thill. Welcome home.
Special thanks to our host, Jonna Fernandez, and Jamuna Thill. Producer, Bree Westbury. Audio engineer, Dylan Hensley. Outreach and guest relations manager, Kendall Crawford. And podcast administrator, Sean Ossel. Tune in next time, and don't forget to enjoy your journey to the top.
The statements made by speakers in this podcast do not necessarily represent the views or position of the Collin County Association of Realtors, its leadership, or its members. This podcast is not intended to give legal, financial, medical, or other advice, but simply to provide information as a springboard to further discussion and investigation.